We see that some student lost their power, but they can learn their read easily. How is it possible? Material study is how much need for Krishna conscious movement. I guess that this means that some people lose their shukra, their semen, but still they can study well. I guess that's the meaning of this question. It's the person who wrote this doesn't have much command over English, it seems. Well, the different people are endowed with different levels of intelligence at birth. I mean, however much you try to, with a child, however much you try to train them from the beginning, it's highly unlikely that even if you try the hardest to make your child very intelligent, it's very unlikely he's going to come up to the level of material intelligence as Einstein. Einstein was endowed with a high level of material intelligence. So people may have more to start off with. Even if they're involved in sense gratification, they still have a higher level of intelligence of other persons who may be more self-controlled, but who don't start off with such a high level of material intelligence. The thing is, in the modern age, people, what they call intelligent, is very low level, actually. Just like sometimes I'm addressed or referred to by other members of this movement as scholarly or learned, but it's a joke. If we know what the actual standard of scholarship and learning is, then it's like in our movement, if someone learns a few shlokas, thank you for closing your mouth. If someone learns a few shlokas, they say he's said to be a learned devotee or highly scholarly. Even 100 years ago, the general level of education was so much higher. I know that from studying the writings of the... Actually, it wasn't even the Gaudiya Math at that time. There's writings of Siddhanta Saraswati and his followers at that time. Now there's mass education and the general level of intelligence has come down. You've also got a beautiful inside of your mouth, which we'd rather not see. Thank you. What's that called in Bengali? Someone who leaves their mouth open? It's a word for a fool. Hoka, I can't remember. Huh? No, boka is something else. That's another word for a fool. Most people were not educated, but those who were educated, they were highly educated. Nowadays, there's mass education, and everyone can read and write. And what are they reading and writing? We'll find in the Western countries the most popular newspapers are the tabloids, which they have no actual news. And then in most cases, the main news is about cinema stars, football players, and it's sensationalistic style. Lots of pictures of naked or semi-naked women, lots of sports so-called news. It's just aimed at stupid people. They can read and write, but what are they cultivating? So the general level of intelligence has come down, seems to me, although the average person is more educated. But there are not many people who are even on the level of average learning as there were even 100 years ago. It would seem that 100 years ago, the average educated person would be like the level of a professor or someone who's considered very high. Even professors. Oh, and then I can answer another question. A question within a question. Let's go Mahabharata style here. One of the questions on BVK Asanga, it's from an IIT student, related to me by an IIT professor, Damodar Nityananda Prabhu. He says, if the Mahabharata is actually a fact, how can we say that Vyasadeva wrote it, if it's actually factual? Well, there is non-fiction writing also. For instance, biographies. There are several biographies of Mahatma Gandhi, for instance. Yeah, you got it on. If we think that writing has to be fiction, that's like saying in the newspaper, all the news, how can we say there's a reporter? Because it's happened, so how can you give any credit to the person for recording it? If Mahabharata really happened, why is Srila Vyas given credit for writing it? So, it's not everyone that can write. As for instance, this question we just read here. We see that some student lost their power, but they can learn their read easily. How is it possible? I mean, it's writing, but it's poor standard. So, it's not every... People go to college to learn how to be a journalist. It's not that everyone can, and just like them, there are several biographies of Mahatma Gandhi. You may say, well, one's enough, but different biographies take different angles. Maybe someone does more research. In writing a biography, you may get so much information, what to include, what not to include, different insights the biographer has. It's a great art to write it. So Srila Vyasa is given credit for writing it, actually for composing it. And then it says, please answer with references if possible. Well, what references are you going to get? If you give a reference, and the reference, someone writes that Srila Vyasadeva actually composed Mahabharata, actually, then you may say that, well, what's the reference, what's the proof that, what's the... credit for such a person to write such a thing. You get my point? It's give references, or if you have a reference, then you may not give any credit to the reference because it's a fact that Vyasadeva wrote it. I mean the whole thing. It's a silly question. Why give any credit to someone for writing non-fiction? It's a silly question. Coming from an IIT student, which confirms in my mind what I always say, that modern education makes educated shudras, people who they don't have much capacity to think very deeply about anything. Maybe they're good at solving problems in software development and engineering, but basically people are stupid, which you can see from the way people live. What is the Rishabhdev says? Parabhavastavada bodhajata yavanna jignyasita atmatatvam. Okay, next time your cell phone goes off, we'll throw it out of the window. And if anyone goes, any other one, we're on the second floor here. If anyone else's goes off, we'll throw them out of the window. So that also answers the second question here. Material study is how much need for Krishna conscious movement. Well, it might be a good idea if the person who asked this question materially studied English a bit more. That would be useful if he wants to take... Actually, it says for Krishna conscious movement. So, it can be useful to some extent. Education can... Of course, one can take part in Krishna consciousness without any education. You can chant Hare Krishna and engage in Krishna service. But for preaching and interacting in this world, education can be of some use. It's of use as a mean, as a facility. It doesn't, it has no direct relationship with Krishna consciousness, but as a facility. Just like if someone knows how to cook, that's useful in Krishna consciousness. That doesn't mean that one's cooking ability makes one more or less Krishna conscious, or that someone who's a good cook, they're naturally better in a position to please Krishna. We may think, well, Krishna likes nice food, so if there is a good cook, then Krishna will be pleased with that. But Krishna is not pleased with the cooking per se, but with the attitude with which it's cooked. So it may be that someone has some material abilities which may seem they're able to do some good service, but ultimately Krishna accepts the attitude with which it's performed. So, yeah, we have work to do in this one. We want to spread Krishna consciousness widely, so abilities are required for that. As Prabhupada said in one early letter, that this material education is not very good, but without any alternative, it's better than nothing. You need some kind of education. Again, we shouldn't think that someone who's highly educated is a better candidate for Krishna consciousness. One thing about education, hopefully it stimulates the thinking process to some extent. The people can start to think, and then they can follow some kind of argument. It's hoped that people could follow some kind of logical way of thinking. Although again, with people spending more time nowadays watching TV and playing internet games than reading books, or even if they read books, they're like cheap novels, or they read silly magazines. Cineblitz is a popular magazine in India. It's still popular? I don't know. I don't think I ever read it, but I used to see people on the trains reading it. Or even the magazines which are supposed to be for more intelligent people, like India Today. But it's highly biased toward the materialistic, toward the world view that India has to progress, develop more economically. It's complete. It's the Indian copy of Time magazine and Newsweek. It's styled after that. So it's molding people's way of thinking, although they maybe don't realize that. So, nowadays, even if people are educated, the education is not it's not for character development. They don't care whether the students or the professors have good character. Doesn't matter to them very much. As long as the students don't beat up the professors, they don't mind whatever else they do. If they don't have riots on the campus, but they can eat meat, drink wine, have girlfriends and so many things. The colleges don't care. They just want to turn out more, units for the industrial complex. That's all. So, how much are people intelligent? It is people's intelligence. Even the professors in the college say that the intelligence of the students is in America, they find that the average student coming is not very educated. I mean, one devotee showed me he was doing some master's degree, and he showed something he wrote for that, and with the professor's comments, because he'd written something about Krishna consciousness. He'd been given an assignment. And the professor, he marked it well and he said it was good. The professor didn't comment at all on the appalling standard of English. And if you can't express yourself in a language clearly, that's a major blockage to communication. So learning to read and write and speak at least one language is useful. That education. It's mundane, but it's useful. Okay, I've spoken many times about education.